You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Well, you join me here on RNIB Connect Radio, and I'm at the Thames Pavilion at the House of Commons for the launch of the RNIB sponsored and hosted by the Royal College of Ophthalmologists training packages for clinicians and ophthalmologists, looking at the importance and impact of emotional support at the point of diagnosis. And I'm with Professor Tariq Aslam, who is from the Manchester Royal Eye Hospital. Tariq, you were very, I suppose, much involved in part of the development of this training package.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Thanks for asking me to speak. It's a real pleasure being able to come down here and see so many people at this session and the launch of this training package, because it's been years in the making. So it's really, really nice to see it finally being launched. Where did it come from? It came from a time when I was seeing patients, and particular patients that I was seeing, when I began to realize that there were some aspects of their care that I was missing. They'd come in and appear to be very happy and smiley, but I found out later on that that wasn't always the case. Even if you ask a patient how they are, they quite often will just instinctively and reflexly say, fine, thanks, in an ophthalmology clinic. So there was a lot of work that needed to be done, and we began to realize that if we go further, there was a lot of anxiety and depression in our patients, especially with chronic eye disease and patients with macular degeneration. And we were missing a lot of these signs and signals because we were focusing so much on the scans, the eye scans we've done, we weren't seeing patients as a whole. So this led me on a journey to think about patients in a more holistic way. And we started to do some research in Manchester, which actually demonstrated some really scary facts about how prevalent the incidence was of depression and anxiety in our patients. The ones we were seeing every day and the ones we thought we were doing great things for actually had high levels of anxiety and depression that weren't ever being diagnosed and wouldn't have been diagnosed if it wasn't for the research we'd done. So that was when I met up with Amanda from RIB, and together we started talking about this issue. And initially it was met with, I think, some skepticism, but gradually over the years, ophthalmologists, I think, have begun to realize that this is a key issue and something they need to try and incorporate into their practice. But quite often they would say, well, yeah, you're right, we need to do this, but I just haven't been trained. I don't know how to do any of this, and it should be somebody else that does it. And so that's what led us then to produce this training package. And one of the key things with it was that we wanted to make sure that two things. One was that it encompassed all of the experience of RNIB with all of their counselors and all of their psychologists and all the research they'd done and all the patient feedback they'd given. But then also, on the other side, we needed to make sure that it was something that was applicable to ophthalmologists that was practical for them. Because when you've got 5 minutes per patient or 10 minutes per patient, there's no way you're going to be able to take aside 20 minutes for every patient to chat to them. But we wanted to make sure there were really good tips and bits of advice for small things that they could incorporate into their practice. Small things that wouldn't mean that they'd go run over. Small things that wouldn't mean that they would find the caseload of patients unmanageable. But those small things that they could make into their practice would potentially make a big difference to patients. So that's a long answer to the question. Sorry about that. I'm a bit of a talker. But yeah, it's been a passion project for a few years. So I'm really pleased to see it take off today.
And I suppose, what are those sort of, as you say, small things that might be part of a training package that ophthalmologists can take on board, that they can sort of use in that very small time that they do have with a patient?
Yeah, so some of the key things that I've learned are, firstly, when in delivering a diagnosis, is to start with empathy. Mary gave a key little tip, starting with empathy, making sure that there's good patient understanding. We sometimes think that because patients have been to the clinics time and time again, maybe for years, that they understand what's actually happening with their eyes. It's very important to get that understanding early on, is another key thing. And then finally, at the end of the consultation, it's always, these sound like obvious things to you, I'm sure, but it's always important to say to patients and ask them if they have any further questions, because otherwise there'll be things that might have been on their minds that they just haven't felt they could ask or would ask, or that didn't want to take your time with. So there's just a few things, but then quite often it depends on the situation, the diagnosis. But I think in general, if we can get ophthalmologists to think about these issues a little bit more, it will be a big success.
And I suppose the other thing is that most eye hospitals and eye clinics also have the eye care liaison officers who are there to help as well. So as well as the ophthalmologists providing a little bit more emotional support, the ECLOs are there as well.
The ECLOs have an amazing and fantastic role, and quite often relied on ECLOs to really delve into detail with things. One thing I'd like to say is that I don't think it should be just the ECLOs' job, though, because as an ophthalmologist, it really enriches your patient care and your patient management if you understand where they're coming from, what their aims are, what their fears are, and you can map then the treatment program to that. You can get a greater understanding of what drives them and then give them much better care, I think, if you yourself understand that.
And will the training now be sort of, you know, across the board with all ophthalmologists who are either going through their training or done their training and something through sort of their annual sort of CPD training?
Yeah, that's right. So we're hoping it will be across the whole board of ophthalmologists, from junior ophthalmologists all the way through to senior. I don't actually know if I could say the senior ones are better than juniors or juniors better than senior. I'm not sure at this stage. And potentially extending it further to other healthcare workers or other practitioners in the ophthalmology clinics, because we have a wide spectrum now. So optometrists quite often see patients, imaging staff might see patients, and nurses obviously will be seeing patients or doing injections. So it's a whole broad group of healthcare practitioners potentially can do this. And then there are many other areas we can expand it into, because at the moment it's mainly around retinal patients. It does apply to other patients as well, and so there are lots of other areas and niche areas I think we can expand this into. And I have to say, amongst ophthalmologists, there's been a lot of interest in it in terms of input into this course and expanding it into different areas.
Well, Tarek, thank you very much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.